Basically, let me just tell you a little bit about myself, then we'll get started. I'm married. This is my wife right here, Krista. We've been married for 8 years this year. So we've been married for a while, actually. We have three kids. They just had birthdays, so now I'm going to mess their dates. So, Morgan, okay, so 6, 4, and 3. So we had three kids, beautiful kids, wonderful kids. So that's kind of who I am. I work here at the church. I do computer stuff. So I like, you know, I'm at heart, I'm geeky. I'm a little bit of a nerd, you know. If you know what the terminal prompt is, come talk to me afterwards. I would love to talk with you about it or something. But that's just a little bit about me. Let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the word. God, we come before you tonight, God, and I thank you, God, that you have a word that you have set upon me, Father God, to deliver tonight, God. I thank you that your word will go forth, Father God, that it will go into good ground, Father God, that it will bear much fruit, Father God, that as your word goes forth, Father God, that it will serve its purpose, Father God. So we give you all the glory and honor tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me get my notes. All right. So tonight, we are going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to go to Judges. We're going to go to Judges chapter 16, and we're going to talk about Samson a little bit. But let me give you a little bit of background, though, before, because it's kind of his story is a couple chapters, so we're not going to read all that. So basically, Samson, he was born into a family who his parents did not have a child. His mother was barren, so she couldn't have kids. An angel comes down, tells her she's going to have a kid, that he's going to be a special kind of kid. He's going to be set apart. He's going to be what they called a Nazarite. That means he was set apart. There were certain things that he lived his life according to. There were standards. So that's kind of how we came. He was born. He was special from the very beginning because his mother couldn't have kids. I'll just go through it real quick. A couple things that we should know. He was a Nazarite. That means he was special. He had a thing for women. We need to know that. God used him to kill a ton of Philistines. Like at one point he killed 1,000, like at one time. Like in one fight he killed 1,000 Philistines all by himself. That's a lot of people to kill by yourself. So, you know, God obviously would come upon him and use him to fight and to kill the Philistines. That obviously ticked the Philistines off. They didn't like this guy. They didn't like him very much because he killed a lot of people. It wasn't the first time he killed people. He'd killed people before that. He burned fields down. He did all kinds of crazy stuff. So the Philistines are after him. They want to get Samson. They want to take him out. You know, he's being a nuisance to them. So, like I said, he had a thing for women. So Samson was with three different Philistine women, which is like, you know, in the Bible, you look in the Old Testament, God is always saying, stop looking for women outside of your own people. Samson was not, you know, of course he went outside of his people. He goes to get married, that ends up falling apart. He ends up getting with another Philistine woman who was a harlot or a prostitute. Then he moves on, and now where we're going to pick up the story is where Samson meets Delilah. So I'm sure you guys have all heard this story before, but I believe God has given me a few things that that he really wants to show us that we probably haven't seen before. At least I hadn't. So let me open my Bible to Judges chapter 16. And I'm just going to read through it kind of quickly. So I'll tell you what verse it is. So basically, Samson, he comes up, he finds Delilah, he's into her, he likes her. It says he loves her, like the first verse about it is like, he loved her. So he liked her, he's all into her. The Philistine rulers, the leaders of the Philistines, they come in and they're like, oh, okay, Delilah, look, we want to get this guy, so we're going to pay you a ton of money. And it talks about, it's like, literally like a ton of money is a whole lot of money. I don't know what it would equal today, but believe me, it was a lot. And so obviously she's interested. She's like, okay, tell me about it. Let's do this thing. So, Let me pick it up in verse 6. It says, So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and with what may be bound to afflict you. And then verse 7 it says, and Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So he tells her, if you tie me up with fresh bowstrings, then I'll be weak and, you know, I'll be like any other person. And that whole thing. And so she's that, so, you know, that's what she does. So she goes, she gets him, and it says, she ties him up with the bowstrings, and they come in, and she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. They're going to get you. And so he of course, wakes up, tears off the bowstrings, goes out, you know, he wakes up, tears them off like it's nothing. And she realized, like, okay, obviously he lied to me. So she says, okay, Samson, you lied to me now. Now tell me what it really is. You didn't tell me. Tell me what it really is. So in verse 11, it said, he says, if they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak like any other man. So that's what she does. She binds him up with new ropes. Same thing. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He busts out the new ropes like it's nothing. So now she's getting a little annoyed. You know, she's saying, Samson, you've mocked me. What's up with this? Why aren't you telling me what the truth is and all this kind of stuff? So, you know, it's starting to wear on him a little bit. So he gets a little bit closer. He says in verse number 13, the second half of 13, it says, and he said to her, if you weave my 7 locks of my head into the web of the loom, that will make me weak like any other man. And the thing you need to know about this is that where Samson's power was derived from was that he was a Nazarite. His hair had never been cut. So he's getting a little closer to the truth. Now he's starting to, you know, he's starting to, like, get wore down. So he's like, well, if you do this, if you weave my hair, which is, you know, that's just weird anyways. But, it's a really weird mental picture. Like, I can't foresee that. That's really weird. Anyway, so she does that. And you'll notice in verse 14 it says, she's starting to get annoyed. So it says, she wove it tightly. She's like, all right, sucker, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it good. And she wove it tightly. Same thing. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He wakes up, rips his hair out of the loom that's in the ground. And so this time now she's really had enough. So let's look at it in let's just jump to verse number 17. So for the fourth time, it says that he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak like any other man. So Delilah, she can, you know, women, they have perception. They can pick up on things. So she's like, all right, he finally opened up. I can tell. So she goes and gets the leaders of the Philistines and said, okay, come on, pay me my money. Give me my money. And I finally have the real truth to what this is, the what's going to make him be weak like any other man. So they come in and they bring she puts him to sleep and they shave his head. So, let's look at this part, verse number 20. It says, and she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he woke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. And this is the part I wanted to kind of pick up on. It says, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. And as I read that, and I was like, wow, that's a really powerful statement. You know, like, if you're at church, or you've been to church a while, you know, you call yourself a Christian, all this kind of stuff, like, you know, you have God, you're like, oh no, I know God, we're cool like that, you know, and we can find ourselves without even realizing it. Like, I don't think Samson was like, he obviously didn't realize what kind of situation he was getting himself into, and we can do that we can do that the same in our lives, where we don't realize the kind of situations we're getting ourselves into, and then we go to try to get out of it like we had before, and we can't do it, and we fall, and we fail. And that's the fall of Samson. He fell, and the Philistines come in, pluck out his eyes, put him to work, make him do all kinds of degrading things. And there's 3 things that God wants to show us from Samson's story that we need to be aware of that the devil's going to try to do to us when he comes to try to attack us. So, a couple of things. The first thing that God showed me with this, the first thing I want to look at, is just like Delilah, the enemy, the devil, is persistent. Delilah did not give up after the first time. You know, she, Oh, Samson, tell me. It didn't take one time. It didn't take two times. It didn't take three times. She didn't give up until she got it. The devil, that our enemy, whatever, you know, we all got things in our lives we're dealing with. The devil is persistent. You need to know that the devil is persistent. He's not going to stop just because it didn't work the first time. You know, he tried to get you, but oh, no, you good. No, I'm good. I got out of it. You know, that was a little close, but I'm good. You know, it's all right. You know, I got it. And then, you know, happens again. The devil's going to try again. Like, okay, okay. So he's going to try again. He's going to be persistent, and we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that the devil is persistent. So let me say it like this. Delilah approached Samson four times to get the secret of his strength. The devil won't stop either. He wants to get you into a place, into a situation, into a circumstance that he can get you to fall. So let's go to a verse real fast. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Because this is what the devil's trying to do. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And this is what it says. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So if I were going to title this message tonight, I would title it, "Be sober and be vigilant." Because here's the thing. Like I said, the devil's going to be persistent. He's coming after you. He's pushing you. He's trying, you know, like I said, he'll try one time and you walk away. You know, you're able to get away from it that time. You know, maybe you want to drink, or you used to drink or whatever. And so you get tempted, you know, you're around people who are drinking or something, and you're like, "No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it," you know. So you don't do that time. You're like, "Oh, it's okay," you know. But it was a struggle. And then the next time, so the devil's going to make another opportunity come up. If you don't pay attention, if you aren't being sober, if you aren't being vigilant, you're going to find yourself in another situation or another circumstance where now that opportunity is available again. And now it's, you know, it's getting harder. It's getting harder. But no, it's okay. I made it through. And God, and the devil will be persistent. He's not going to stop if it takes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The devil's not going to stop. The devil's trying to get you into a position that he may devour you. See, the thing about that verse is it says that he may devour you. It's not that he can devour you. You have to let yourself get into a position that he may devour you. That's what the devil's trying to do. That's what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to push you and prod you and bring situation and hard circumstances into your life that get you into a position where you've been worn down, you've been beat down, that now you just don't have it in anymore. And now the devil comes in and he can devour you. Now, if we look at this back in Judges real fast, I want to point out just a couple things. I'll just read it to you real fast. The first time, when Samson tells her about the fresh bowstrings, in verse number 9, Judges 16, verse number 9, it says, "Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room, and she said," and so anyways, I guess I need to read that last part, but the leaders were lying in wait. They were hiding. They were waiting for Samson to be tied down where couldn't get out. They were waiting for him to get into a position where they could devour him, where they could overtake him. You look at the next time, when he talks about the new ropes, the same thing. It says, "And the men were lying in wait, staying in the room." They were waiting just the same. The devil is what he is patient. He is persistent. He will make sure that he is where he needs to be so that at the time when you are most vulnerable, he can pounce on you and he can devour you. That's what he wants to do. That's the first thing. You need to realize that just like Delilah, your enemy, the devil, is persistent. And he will come after you and he wants to get you into a position that he may devour you. Second thing, Samson, when we look at the story, why are the Philistines trying to stop him? Because the enemy is trying to stop him from fulfilling his purpose. If we go back just a little bit in Judges, the 13th chapter, verse number 5, it tells us what that is. So Judges 13, verse 5, back a few pages, it says this. "For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Samson, before he was even born, he had a purpose, he had a promise on his life. And just the same, the devil is going to come after you because he doesn't want us to fulfill, to reach, to get a hold of the promises that that God has for us. Now, maybe it's not like a huge call like Samson of to deliver Israel. But, you know, we all have promises from the Word. You know, I'm believing for my health, you know, or I'm believing for finances, or I'm believing, you know, that God would just, you know, he would open doors on my job, or I don't know what I'm going to do about my future. But, you know, I know the Bible says, I know what the promises are. And we need to realize that the devil, he's not going to just come at us to get us down or defeated. He's coming at us so that we won't fulfill the purpose and the promises that God has given us. Third thing. Like I said, Samson obviously had a thing for women. And God, you know, God has given us desires of heart, but Samson had a thing for women, and we need to realize that the devil is going to use things in our lives that we desire, that we love. I mean, let's look at it with Samson again. If you look at verse number 4, this is when he first meets Delilah. It says, afterward, this is Judges 16, verse number 4. It says, afterward it happened that he loved a woman in the valley whose name was Delilah. He loved her from the beginning. Like, you know, they don't really give us a time frame on how fast all this stuff happened, but he was saying, I love you awfully quick. You know what I mean? And the same thing if you look at verse number 15 in the same chapter, Judges 16, verse 15, it says, then she said to him, how can you say I love you? Obviously, you know, he's like, oh, you know, Samson, you keep lying to me. I love you, baby. I'm sorry. You know, it's just, you know, I love you. You know, and she's getting all mad. So This was something that Samson dealt with. And like I said, this wasn't the first woman Samson was with. This was something that was a desire in Samson. It was his flesh. And just the same like Samson, the devil is going to use things that is in our flesh to try to get us and pull us down, to stop us from receiving the promises, to get us into a position that he may devour us. You know, it's kind of, it's the things that we, you know, for some people, it all depends on your situation. But for some people, maybe, you know, some people just really want to be accepted, especially in our age. Like, they just want to hang out with the cool people, or they just want to have, like, you know, good-looking friends or something, or they want to have, like, a lot of Twitter followers, or they want to have, you know, this or that. They want to have a nice car, like, whatever it is. Like, people compromise a lot of things that they should not be compromising because they're going after something that their flesh desires so much. You know, everybody's been through high school. You know, there's things that go on in high school where it's like, you just want so bad for something to happen. I just want so bad for this person to be my friend, or, you know, or for this to happen, or for that, for this girl to ask me out, or for that guy to ask me out, or to go to prom with this person. And those things just consume your thoughts. You know, that's like all you think about. You dream about it, because before you go to bed, you're thinking about, oh, what if he calls, or what if this, or what if that, and if this happens, and then that happens, and then this could happen, you know, all this kind of stuff. The devil is going to use things that your flesh is crying out to you for. Just like Samson realized, the devil was using something that was deep in his flesh. It was, man, he had desires for it, obviously, and the devil will use those things that are not of God. So let's look at a couple of things. So how do we guard ourselves from the attack of the enemy? So we've seen what can happen. We've seen what would happen with Samson. We've seen how a couple of different ways that the devil came in and ultimately got Samson to fall. So let's look at another example on how we can overcome and how we can guard ourselves against this. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. So now we're going to look at a good example. So there's no better example than Jesus. Amen? All right. Matthew chapter 4. So we're going to pick up in verse number 1. This is right before Jesus is about to start his ministry. So he just got baptized by John the Baptist. And immediately after that, he goes into the desert. So we'll pick up in verse number 1. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Verse number 4, it says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So what is that saying? That's saying that we do not do this by ourselves, that we cannot do this on our own. Jesus even said, I don't live by bread alone. I don't do this on my own, you know, but by God who comes in and empowers me. So the first thing, number one, on how do we guard ourselves from the attacks of the enemy. Number one, you need to know your need. So here's the thing. We need to know our need for God. And here's how it plays out in most of our lives most of the time. We realize our need for God when we've reached the extent of our abilities, or we've reached the extent of what I can do. You know, like, oh, well, if, you know, whatever it is, you have, you know, your skills, you know what God's gifted you with, and you take those as far as you can take them, and then you hit a wall. And it's not until we hit a wall that we realize, like, oh, God, I need you. You know, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know, you know, I don't know what's going to happen now. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. But we don't ever, most of the time, we don't sit back and realize and look at our need from God from the very beginning. So let's look at a couple of verses real quick. Romans 3:23. We all know this verse. We've fallen short. We need to know our need for God. We have fallen short. We cannot do this ourselves. Zechariah, I'll just need to read these so we can move quicker. Zechariah chapter number 4, verse 6, it says, not by my might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. We cannot do this by ourselves. So let me say it like this. I think that will make a lot of sense. Our need for God is never more or less. Our need for God is always constant and absolute. That is our need for, it is the same. It does not change. We act like it changes all the time. You know, we don't act like we need it. We need God until we ran out of our own strength. But when we look at the Word, when we look at the Bible, we need to know that our need for God is never more, it is never less, it is constant, and it is absolute. Now, it doesn't end there, which is good news. If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9, and verse number 10, let me flip there real fast and I'll read it for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then if we jump down to verse number 10, it says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So now let's add a little bit to that statement. That not only is our need for God never more or less, but it is constant and absolute, but also God is all we need. You know, so in our weakness, he is made strong. And that is just a concept that we need to understand, we need to live by. We need to understand that our need for God does not change based on our circumstances. Our need for God does not change based on how we feel. Our need is the same. So what does that mean? That means that daily we need to recognize our need for God. That means that daily we need to come before God and say, God, I need you. This is not me. I need you because you are the one who works through me. You are the one who makes me strong. Amen? All right, number 2. Back to Matthew, unless you're already there, which is cool too. Matthew chapter 4, now we're going to look at verse number 5. It says, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So what is God trying to show us with that? What is God trying to show us with that? We need to realize, first of all, that the enemy gets crafty. We realize here, number two, that now the devil's starting to quote scripture back at God first. You know, it's not like God's just like, oh no, I got a verse for that one. Shoot it down, you know. Now the devil's quoting scripture right back at God. And so what we need to realize that the devil will try to deceive you. He will try to, you know, a lot, man, I'll tell you, with, especially in our age, there are so many different doctrines and things going around that, you know, like, wow, that sounds good. Feels good. Like, I like it. You know, cool. I'll believe that. You know, I like that. And there's all kinds of things that are floating around that are not Bible that people believe just because it feels good. Or I like the way that feels. That feels good. I like, you know, I like what that's saying, or that lines up with my lifestyle. Cool. We need to know that, we need to know what the Bible says. So number two, we need to know the truth. So let me go a little bit big picture with that. What is the truth? The truth is Jesus. We need to know Jesus. What is truth? Truth is that Jesus is God in flesh, that he died on the cross, was buried, that he rose from the dead, and that on the cross he bore our sins on his body. The truth is that the Bible is the inerrant word of God. That is what truth is. Truth is God's word. Truth is Jesus. So what does that mean? We could look at a few verses. I'll tell them to you quickly. John chapter 4, verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. Jesus saying, I am the truth. The truth is Jesus. When Jesus comes before a Pilate, he comes, and what does he say? He's come that I may bear witness to the truth. Jesus is the truth. And this is what God wants to show us from this. There is a lot of things that young adults know. I would say most young adults, their knowledge is a mile wide and an inch deep. You probably heard that expression before. Like, everybody knows a little bit about everything, you know. But when you actually start to get into it, you know, like after two questions, they're like, oh, I'm not sure. You know, oh, yeah, I know about that. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Then they ask another question. Oh, I'm not, you know. Everybody always wants to be in on the conversation. So like, oh, yeah, I know about that. That's cool, too. Yeah, I saw that one thing, too, or whatever, you know. And with the Bible, it doesn't work like that. With the Bible, just like everybody has this vast knowledge, we're all so knowledgeable. There is a very, very big difference between the truth that we know in our head. Oh, I know a few verses. I know the Bible says about Jesus, my provider. He's my healer. You know, I know what the Bible says about that thing. And a lot of us, we got the knowledge up here. It's wide. You know, I know quite a few things about the Bible. But there's a very, very big difference between what you know in your head and what you know in your heart. You know, like I said, a lot of people, I've done this plenty of times before too, like, oh yeah, God's my provider, man. You know, he provides, he is so faithful. And then like, you know, having like really just need some money and it's like, oh my gosh, like everything is stressful. You don't know how this is going to happen. How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for that? You know, like, oh, I'm going to have to cut back a little bit on my tithe this time. And next time I'll catch up on my tithe next month. Or all these kinds of things where we're like, oh yeah, I know the truth, but we don't know the truth in our heart. We know the truth in our head, but we don't know the truth in our heart. So let me say it like this. Whenever we find ourselves in hard situations, hard circumstances, that is when we are being tested a lot of times. We're being, you know, guys, okay, all right, you know this, you've heard about this, you've been in church, you know about this, you know about that. Okay, now here comes a hard situation, and what is your reaction? How do you respond to it? And a lot of times, you know, how we respond is what's in here. What's in here is how we respond. So when we respond and like, I'm so worried, I'm so stressed out, I don't know, you know, I just got laid off, I don't know how this is going to happen, I don't know, that is what's on the inside of you. Sure, you know the truth in your head, but that's not what's in your heart. And so what we need is to have a revelation of the truth. And it's one thing, like I said, it's one thing to know it, but it's a total another thing to have a revelation of God's truth that is in your heart. And so that's not to say like, sure, like, oh man, I got a revelation that, you know, God is my provider. And so that's not to say you're never going to face hard financial times or something like that. Or you know, I know that God is my healer. I know it. I believe it. My faith, you know, I put my faith in it. I stand on it. And that's not to say that you're not going to, at some point, face a very hard time where you're believing God for healing. You're like, oh, this is so hard. And the thing we need to realize is that it is almost every single time we go through one of those kinds of situations, what God is trying to do, he is trying to teach us and pull us through so that the truth that we know in our head gets pulled down and through out of our hearts. So now when we face these situations, we're responding from here, and it's the right response. It's the truth of God. It's the revelation of that God gave me. It's real to me now. This is how I actually respond. And if we're honest, if I'm honest, most of the time, that's not what the case. You know, most of the time, there's like one or two things, you know, most people got one thing, and they're just like, man, they got one thing that they're all about, you know. Unfortunately, the Bible's not limited to one thing, you know, so, and there'll be all kinds of things that God wants to, you know, God will allow us to go through those situations, and he will pull us through those situations so that the truth that we get fed every week in church and the knowledge that Pastor Jim and Pastor Dan and Pastor Luke and Pastor Joey give to us each and every week will go from here to here, right? Because God's all about the heart, right? If you've been to the Rock, you know that God's all about the heart. Another thing you need to know, the truth always supersedes the facts, right? You just need to know that, that's all. So here's the thing. Let me finish by saying this. We need more than knowledge of the truth. We need more than just understanding of the truth, or man, I've really studied this thing out, so I know it, and now I've really studied it, so I understand it too. You know, I understand how this works. We need more than that. We need the revelation of the truth that brings forth wisdom and obedience in our lives when we are faced with those situations. And so we need to evaluate ourselves. How are we responding to the tough situations that we're facing? How are we responding in obedience to the truth that God's given us? Do we even have a revelation of whatever situation you're facing? Have you even opened your Bible and read about it to get a revelation? We need to have a revelation of God's truth if we're going to overcome the enemy. So every day we need to hunger and have a revelation of God's truth to become real in our hearts so that it can be something that we live, not something that we just know. Last thing, number three, back to Matthew. Chapter 4, verse number 8. It says, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So what is that saying? What is God trying to show us from this one? At first, I was like, God, what are you trying to tell him? I don't even know either. Like, what's going on? And then God showed me, I finally saw it. God showed me, how does it start out? How does Jesus respond? He doesn't respond this time just by saying, for it is written. You know, before, Jesus is kind of like, I'll blow you off and just give you the answer. You're like, we're not going to have a conversation about it. This time, Jesus answers a little bit different. What does he say? He says, away with you, Satan! Exclamation point. Like, then he says, then for it is written. So what is God trying to show us? You have to know, we need to know who we are. You can't talk like that to the devil unless you know who you are. Most people are scared of the devil. Like, you know what I mean? Like, most people are scared of the devil. And that is not what God intends. God intends for us to know who we are, that we could walk in the place that he's given us. Jesus spoke with authority because he was confident and because he was secure in who he was. Now, an example of this is like, you know, I was like, God, well, how do I do this? Or what does this look like? I got kids, so I popped in my head real easy. Like, it would not be uncommon for me to be like, stay in bed and don't get up anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm confident and secure. Like, you better not get up in your bed. And when I turn around and walk away, I'm not scared of you coming up and getting me or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know who I am, the dad. Like, you're the kid. That's easy for me to be confident and secure. Like, I talk like I know it. You know what I mean? But do we do that when in our lives? You know, do we do that when we're facing a situation when the devil's attacking us and we're like, Jesus, please. You know, like, you know, God, may your grace, just give me your grace to bear it. Or, you know, like, and we're quoting scriptures wrong. You know, like, doing all kinds of weird things. We don't know who we are, you know, like. So let's just look at a couple quick verses that show us who we are. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. I'll just go through these real quick. Basically, Romans 8, 37, we're more than conquerors. Hello. Again, it's one thing to know the verse. It's another thing to have a revelation of that verse so that when you face these situations, you can respond with authority. You can respond with confidence and say, no. I'm more than a conqueror, devil. Another verse. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. We're a new creation. You know, a lot, if we're honest, we're young adults, a lot of times, or not even just everybody deals with it, a lot of times we go in circles, man. We're repetitive. You know, like okay, God, you know, help me with this. I'm like, all right, I'm good. And then, like, the next day, all right, God, help me with this. You know, and like, you know, we face the same thing all the time, and we need to know that we are a new creation. We need to know what that means. We need to know, what does that look like for your life? You need to know what that is. Another verse, Romans 8, 17, it says that we are an heir with Christ. You know, that is huge. Let me just read the verse, because it's a good verse. I'll read it real fast. It's better than my paraphrase. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. All right. And I'm in 1 Corinthians. I have no idea what happened there. It's like total wrong book. All right. Here's the right one. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That is extremely powerful. And that's one of those things like, you're not just going to get a revelation of like, I got it. Like, God will reveal this to you over time. You learn about this. You learn to walk in it more and more every day. We should be progressing in this. But we need to know who we are. We need to know that this is who we are, co-heirs with Christ. We are more than conquerors. You know, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. There's all kinds of verses. We don't have time to, you know, we could say a bunch of different verses. One other verse that's also in Romans 8. I'll just read that one to you because I like it. Or I'll pair it. Basically, Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the same power that conquered the grave lives in us. I love that song. You know, it's more than a song. That's the Bible. You know, it's one thing to sing a song and be like, oh, I love that song. It's such a good song. You know, like, totally get into it. And that's great, but realize that it's not just a song that gets your emotions excited and happy and like, oh, I love Jesus. You know, it's so good. He's in me. Like, this is the Bible. This is who you are. We need to realize that. Let me say this to kind of sum that part up, that this quote just speaks to me every day. It's by Bill Bright. It says, "The entire Christian life is becoming and experience what we already are by inheritance." Like, so like I said, this is a progressive thing. You're not going to figure it all out in one day. But our life should look like that over time. In our experience, the way we live our life, more and more we begin to look like Christ. More and more we begin to walk in the inheritance that God's given us. How do you do that? How do you know who you are? You got to read your Bible. You got to read your Bible. You got to see, you know, like they said earlier, if you seek God, you'll find him. You know, if you really set time aside to do it, you will find it. If you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. We need to see God for his revelation. We need to know our need, and we need to know who we are. And so let me close with this. You know, some of you may relate with Samson. You're like, dude, I get that guy. Maybe you're a guy, and it's just like a clear parallel, one-to-one. Like, I get this guy. You know, maybe it's some other situation, but Samson fell, man. Like, he fell, and he went through a lot of stuff. They plucked his eyes out, made him perform for them, made him do a woman's job. They made him do all kinds of stuff that was really degrading and just really awful and all this kind of stuff. And maybe that's where you are in your life, right? Man, I'm in a situation that I've fallen, like, and it's hard, it sucks, and I want to get out, but I can't. I try, but I can't. Like, I just can't. As hard as I try, I can't. And God wants to close us off with this. Samson's story doesn't end with him getting caught and him being demoralized and all this kind of stuff. Samson, at the end of his story, he goes back and he calls on God again. And he says, God, a broken man, God, you know, please just give me one more time. Give me your presence. Give me your strength. And God shows up and he meets him right where he's at. And God will meet you right where you're at. And he will show up and he will give you the power to get through, to break through whatever you might be facing. God just wants us to realize who we are so that we can realize, what am I doing? This isn't what God has for me. And I love how it says, we know the story of the prodigal son. And it's in Luke chapter 15. And in verse 17, I love how it says it. It says that, talking about the son, it says that he came to himself. Like, he just realized, like, finally, like, what am I doing? Like, I don't have to keep doing this. You know, I don't have to keep experiencing these things. I don't have to keep going through these things. And he turns around and God, you know, his father, the picture for us is God, arms wide open, welcomes him back and restores him completely. And so if that's where you're at, you need to know that God has a plan for you, that God wants to restore you. God just wants you to come to yourself. Like, you know, wake, what am I doing? What am I doing? Obviously, Samson, God wanted to wake him up before, but dude was obviously a hard sleeper. I mean, to get tied up, to get like, your head shaved, do a weave, and you don't wake up till somebody wakes you, that's crazy. That God wants to wake you up. Don't be like Samson and be like that. So, anyways, if you received anything from the Lord, give God a praise.
All right, hey, praise God.